Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, welcome back. Families will, of course, be spending lots of time together over the break, and it's great, but it can also be challenging and exhausting for some as well, and for many, if not all. We have an expert here to help us make the most of it. Reg Igo is a psychotherapist who specialises in play. Welcome, Reg.
Thank you very much.
You look calm already.
Do I really? I'm here to represent the children of the nation, so I'm glad you're giving voice to them.
I know, it is important. Tell us what a play therapist does.
Yeah, well, so if you think of adult therapy, play therapy is just the same, except for children, but they don't use those, that part of the brain isn't developed yet, so they communicate through play.
Is it before they get the speaking age, is it?
No. Well, the neocortex in the brain, the language centres, they don't really come online fully until you're about 25, believe it or not.
Yeah, is it really? 25?
Yeah. But young children, you know, I mean, they answer questions that we ask them, but they'll answer in a way that gets us to stop asking questions, or in a way that might please us. You know, they might be answers that we want to hear. But they don't develop abstract thinking until the age of 12. So they're very in the moment. So to talk to them about things that may have happened in the past, it doesn't work.
They're very much present day thinkers.
Yes,
if you tap into that.
Exactly. And so through the play, they can play out what's happened.
So when do they need play therapy? When do people contact you?
Yeah, well, it's so varied, I suppose, just like adults. Just like adults going for therapy, children it's the same. Some of them have had traumatic event. It could be a one-off thing, like a car accident. It could be ongoing trauma that's happening.
Illness.
It could be illness, exactly. Lots of medical trauma, anxiety, all sorts of reasons. But I guess today I'm so excited to talk to you because I feel parents have a lot that they can do. You know, they
including
don't need experts always.
Yeah, including the ones who think, oh, I'm not very playful, I'm not very good at playing with the kids.
Exactly.
They don't know that they actually are.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask first, do children like going to therapy?
Yes, generally they do.
Really?
yeah. Because it's a funny one, isn't it? Because they've been sent. You know, the parent decides. So often they'll come in and they might have a face on them and they don't really want to be there. But then they get it. They see I can play with whatever I want. It's child-led. I'm totally following there. Wherever they want to go, I'm going with them. And they usually love therapy.
Yeah. Is it unusual because you're the professional, you're the adult in their world who suddenly is laser focused on them?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know when you were talking there to Brenda at the airport, I thought of how everyone's coming in and, you know, everyone loves to be seen. It's a little bit like hide and seek, you know. They arrive at the airport and the person goes, "Ah, hi," and they're all excited. Well,
the lovely bit of validation
Exactly. So when a child comes into the playroom, my job is to not be the adult in the room. I'm in charge of safety. I say to them all the time, it's the same expression, "Welcome to your special place. You're in charge of the play. I'm in charge of the time and keeping everything safe." So that's, I need to make sure I'm not leading the play. They're in charge. So I have to take that, kind of bring us to the same level.
So when everyone is cooing and playing at the cooing and cheering at the airport, that's kind of a type of play.
It is.
What else would people be surprised to hear?
So I kind of encourage some of your listeners, even if they don't have children and they're listening in, we've all been children ourselves and most of us have had parents. So over Christmas, you know, even just having a game of hide and seek for the crack.
And they're already rolling their eyes.
I know. Well, I'm used to getting reluctant adults to play or inviting them to play. But you'd be surprised. It feels really good. It's like, you know, if you're cycling down the road or you're driving and you see somebody and you're like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
You know, why does that feel so good?
Yeah, it's just play.
Yeah,
it's
playful, yeah.
It's kind of messing, isn't it?
Yeah, messing. And, you know, one parent said at the end of one of our workshops, she looked up and she said, I get it. It's like just putting moments of crack into the day.
Mm. So you're kind of singing along at the top of your voice to a song.
Exactly.
Or dancing around the kitchen. It's unguarded, isn't it? You're just letting go. You're letting your child out of yourself.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. There's a quotation, you can tell them, more about a person through an hour of play than you can in a year of conversation.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's obviously a kind of a moment where it might go into infantilizing though, wouldn't it?
Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's what can happen at Christmas time, can't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, somebody, Uncle Johnny takes it too seriously, you know, the card game, or or Uncle Paddy's too good on the football pitch, and, you know, he starts milling into the nieces and nephews.
That's the competitive,
yeah, competitive dad. Yeah. So always when I'm talking to parents, we're looking at the child from a developmental point of view, a developmental lens. Right. They see the world through their own lens. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes when adults play, they start to see the world through their own lens too. We can, you know, revert. So in play, always to let the child lead and not try and take over by teaching them.
Or you're trying to make them, force them to like something that you're into.
Yeah.
That would be a typical issue, I'd
say. Yeah, reliving some Christmas memory that you had, you know, or some other play. Like, it's sometimes parents will be saying, oh, you know, I got them these books and they really, you know, I love them as a child and I'm reading to them and they're, you know, just doing forward rolls on the bed and face planting and they've no respect. You know, it's not about respect. It's about their developmental stage.
And they're living them. Now, aren't they? As
they're
you say,
living
they don't
now.
Care about what happened to you, what you were reading
they don't
all
care.
Those years ago.
They don't care. They're very egocentric.
That's normal.
It's totally normal. And sometimes at Christmas time, you know, you're with all the cousins and you see your child and you might be cringing because your child might be really bossy or opting out or annoying. It's really hard for us to see our children in those positions. And I think now, compared to when maybe when we were kids, you were told to cop on.
Yeah.
Or if you told a tale.
Don't make a show of yourself.
Yeah, don't be making a show of yourself. But now what we're inclined to do is rescue our child, you know. So parents will maybe go over and get involved and insert themselves in the play. So I suppose I'm excited to come on here today to tell parents your children are totally normal. It's not a personality trait. Being annoying is a developmental stage.
Some of them don't grow out of it.
Well, that's it. And they think, oh, there's a guy in work who's selfish like that. You know, I'm going to get this out of my kid.
But the thing about the child is they are egocentric until the age of 12. Their whole world is just them.
It's just them. It's just them. And if you take punishment away, you'll see it. So I work with groups of children, myself and Aideen. Hi, Aideen. And children come into the room and they see that, you know, we're not punishing them. So the play is so different. They're grabbing, they're pushing, they're saying what they think, and they get to play, really properly play. And we play with them, you know.
But when you say punishment, you're kind of, it's the talking down to kids, is it? Don't be doing that. Stop fidgeting.
Exactly.
Stop moving.
Exactly. We still have boundaries. There's still very firm boundaries around certain things. But
you can't scream the place down or start interfering with other people.
They can scream the place down probably.
If they're not out in public.
If they're not affecting anybody else. But sometimes, you know, someone might be screaming and we might say, oh, Mary, you're really, really screaming there. But Johnny looks like he's not enjoying that. And Mary might look at Johnny in total surprise. And she might go, okay. Well, I don't care because there's no punishment. So we might then have to.
There's where you need the boundary.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, but we're hoping they work it out themselves, which they do.
What do you mean by punishment? What's...
Well, we're not saying, oh, you're not welcome in here if you're going to behave like that. Off you go.
Okay. You're not getting sweets later.
Exactly. Yeah. So parents can sometimes panic and move into bribing and cajoling, where actually we could do it with play. We could do it with play.
What if there... If the child is acting out, what do you do in that circumstance? You can't go, let's play a game of hide and seek now.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle of Super Value.
Well, okay. So if they're acting out in the middle of Super Value, first of all, it, like the airplane, put your own, you know, you have to look after your own oxygen first. So check in what's happening to you. Are you mortified? Are you looking around going, God, everybody's looking at me here? Check in. Have you been ignoring your child and you've just been doing the shopping and they're sitting in the seat and they're bored? Could you do a bit of peekaboo? Could you do a bit of red light, green light, so they get to say when the trolley moves and stops a little bit more?
Right.
And then you quickly take stuff off the shelves.
That's very clever.
Could you count the number of people who are wearing hats? You know, you can bring play in so many different ways.
That's a kind of a nice distraction while the parent is trying to do the
shop. Yes and no. Like, I would think when a child is having a big behaviour, what's under the behaviour? Why is that happening? What are they trying to communicate to us? Because they're not just having a behaviour to annoy you, even though it feels like that. Mm-hmm. Really, a child's biggest focus is to keep themselves safe in the world, same as us. And so when they're having these behaviours, you know, if we could just stop, check in with ourselves first.
Yeah.
And think, I'm really annoyed here, and own that.
Yeah.
And then think, what can I do here? How can I resolve this a little bit playfully?
So the egocentric type personality in the child also extends to, they're not actually out to yeah. harm others. They don't really care, you see.
So they don't care.
They're trying to upset the parent.
No.
The afternoon. That's not, there's no motivation.
Yeah, no motivation, exactly. Now, sometimes, you know, they might overstep it and do something that does hurt somebody else, and then we want to give them an authentic response and be real with them and, you know, help them realise. But, yeah.
You have been telling us that some parents look for therapy for their children and they don't actually need it.
Yeah, well, I think more and more I get emails from parents of younger kids, especially, and older kids too, and they're describing a behaviour that is, it might not be desirable, but it's developmentally appropriate. So, you know, my child has been hitting in creche,
yeah.
or my child bit someone and they weren't provoked. So
they stood up and just randomly smacked the other kid with a toy or whatever.
Exactly.
What's going on there?
Yeah, what's going on there? And it's good for us to actually slow down and think, what is going on there? And so over Christmas, I love parents to get curious about that. Take this time. You have time now to actually observe your child and try and get to know them. Where are they developmentally? Might be totally different to where they were 2 months ago. So they might be a different child than they were in the summertime.
I see, yeah. Are they just testing boundaries? Is that what they're doing?
Sometimes, because boundaries keep kids safe. But also they don't have the language. So maybe I want your pen and I'm just going to take it. I don't really know how to say, oh, can I have that when you're finished?
Yeah.
I really like that one. It's different from my one. They're not thinking like that. They're thinking that pen is mine because I want it.
Yeah,
that's how it goes. And then they get interrupted by, you know, an adult. But actually, sometimes if you leave them at it and I take the pen and you push me off, I've got an authentic response from you. So I've learned, oh, I better not just grab people's pens.
Yeah, okay.
But we keep interrupting so they don't get
right.
that
we don't
experience.
Let that's the follow through so they can understand the kind of rules of society they're entering into.
Yeah, exactly. So in our play sessions, we see the kids are starting to learn that, and they're starting to read the body language of the other child from playing together and from some of our reflections. You know, oh, I don't think Mary liked that. Oh, I think that's a bit hard for Jack. You know, and they're figuring out where is the line between play and reality. What's play? What's reality? What's okay? What's not okay? Where's the boundary? Where am I going to be held?
So you often talking parents down from, the child doesn't need therapy. This is just normal. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Just
you can do this. You have the relationship already. You're actually already playing. So that's something else. You know, good enough is good enough. We don't have to be, you know,
so
perfect.
They're a little bit more risk averse, the parents these days.
I think so. Yeah,
right.
I think so. And it's such a pity.
You were actually worried that you don't see children running around in supermarkets acting out.
Yeah.
Or wherever,
well,
on public transport or down
the
street.
Yeah, or in the park or, you know, so usually in play therapy, a child comes into the room, first thing they're doing is they're on the back of the couch jumping off it. They are testing their boundaries, they're testing their physical limits, they're testing what I can do, where my body begins, where my body ends. They only get that from the rough and tumble. They want to box me, we're sword fighting, they're getting into their body, you know, so typically, play therapy can start like that and then it moves away into different play, but it often starts like that. So that might look like, at home, a child jumping off the stairs, you know. So they might be jumping off two steps and then they might start jumping off three steps. And then we go, stop that now, you're going to break your neck.
Yeah.
You know, but actually they know themselves.
You just let them at it until they fall over.
they won't go that far. They probably just give up and get bored, you know.
So parents are playing with their kids, they don't realise they are.
Exactly. And I think they're playing with their kids more than they ever were. But it's just their kids are probably missing out on the unsupervised street play that they would have had previously. Or, you know, they've been more closely monitored on the yard and school, because that's what parents expect, you know.
Parents are also distracted by the little screens.
Yeah.
So the attention, there's an attention industry inside the house, isn't there, where the kids are trying to get the attention.
I know. And actually, you know what we're missing out on? The crack with our kids. Like, I was at an event yesterday and I was chatting to another adult, and then this little kid came over, and she's six, and she had this ball of fur, and she said, I got this present, and when you put it in water, it's going to turn into a cat or a rabbit. And one of us said, oh, okay, so do you have a bowl to put it in? And she said, yeah, we've got a big bowl at home. It's for popcorn and vomit.
The big bowl at home, yeah.
So, you know, they come out with these lovely little things. But sometimes we're interrupting their play. We see them, you know, playing with a baby doll, and we're like, oh, that's so cute. And then we see them opening and closing the door off the doll's head, and we're like, oh, God, what's going on? You know,
stop
suddenly
that.
Stop that. It's not become nurture play. Now they've gone into a different type of play, and they're actually interested. How much force makes the plastic compress? You know,
really?
So sometimes we're putting adult projections onto a child's play.
But sometimes they're grabbing something that another child likes, or that it is, you're in someone's house and they're about to break it. You have to intervene sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
But what's going on in their minds when they're suddenly someone's grabbing something out of them, their hand, and saying, don't touch that?
Exactly. It's the way we do it. And there can be a lot of shame in that. And they're really reading our body cues and our body language, because as we said earlier, they don't use the words. So when they're looking at us, they're really looking at, oh, my God, I did something really bad there. So instead, maybe if we see they're about to do something, we can get our body in the way before it happens and, you know, say, oh, I saw you were looking at that. That's not for us. That's
right.
Auntie Nellie's favourite vase. Maybe she might let us look at it. You know,
let's put Auntie Nellie's vase back up where it belongs.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Reduce the shame. Barney Leash is wondering about yourself. Have you any memories of play when you were a child?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I have so many memories. And actually, do you know, it's that kind of stuff where I'm, myself, my cousin, we used to go out in her back wall, climb the wall, and the fear of God would be in us because it was quite a high wall, and we'd be there for ages, and then we might jump off the wall. Sometimes we'd hurt ourselves, sometimes we wouldn't. We'd have to do it again and again. Like, children need repetitive opportunities to play. But if my aunt caught us, we'd be in serious trouble. So sometimes we'd have to stay really quiet on the top of the wall, so scared, while she hung up a whole load of washing, you know. So that's another type of play that's kind of missing, is risky play like that.
You also are looking after the adolescents as well. They don't tend to want to meet people, leave the room, you know, leave their presence behind. How do you cajole the teenagers into getting involved?
Yeah, I should clarify, I'm not working with adolescents currently, because I have three of my own, so they take up my time. But to get them out and involved, again, be curious. Why don't they want to come? You know, maybe it is that they're going to a house where there's no other adolescents, and they're adults and children.
They have to wear different clothes, maybe.
Exactly. Maybe you're not letting them wear their tracksuit, or maybe, you know, sometimes parents don't realise, but they can kind of look at them and go, oh, you know, I don't think that skirt really suits you. And then they feel self-conscious now. You've gone into something else, you know.
That's a polar ice cap between parent and child, I'd imagine.
Yeah, exactly. And I think...
How'd you get them out walking?
Well, getting out walking, maybe they could wear their headphones. Do they have to be present? Because then when everyone's walking together and maybe somebody's doing a race or something's happened, they might take them off and join in.
Some teenagers are, I'll go in a minute, but really they mean an hour, 2 hours, and hope that you forget.
Yeah.
Stop asking.
And do they have to go? Maybe you're only bringing them because you're keeping up with the Joneses, you know?
To be seen out and about.
Yeah, or because you're meeting the Joneses. And they're expecting
damn
them.
These Joneses.
Do they need to be there? You know.
Joneses.
Or maybe you need to drive 10 kilometres and then walk, and they're happy, you know.
Is there an age they reach where they don't need play anymore, the kids?
I don't think so. No, I think everybody needs to play. Adults need to play. You know, it's a real experience that we all need to get in touch with our body, to get us into our body. And we all need a bit of crack and positive emotions. There's loads of research about positive emotions and how they build, you know, a more positive thought action reflexes. So we're more willing to take risks. We're more willing to think flexibly. We're more able for relationships when we're feeling positive and we're feeling good about ourselves. And, you know, if we see somebody laughing with us and playing with us, it's like, oh, that person likes me. I must be likable.
Yeah. It doesn't really end.
I must be likable. Yeah.
We can keep developing our brains, as you. There's nice messages in for you. These are people, you're obviously quite busy and you've been helping them previously. I did the parenting course with Reg and Caroline last June. It was brilliant. Someone else says, I wanted to text to say I know Red, sometimes Regina, and she has helped me and my family through some very difficult times. She's extremely knowledgeable. I would trust her judgment so much. I'm delighted she's getting to share her knowledge with others, says the other one. Someone just also wants to say, I wanted to text to say my child is really struggling. After speaking to Reg, she recommended that her workshop with Caroline. I can't believe the positive changes in my relationship with my child since we have so much more fun. It just makes life a lot easier.
I know. And that's it. You know, it's the fun, bringing the fun back into the house and just thinking about what it's like from a child's perspective to arrive into a busy Christmas where everybody's taller than them and everybody's talking about things that they can't keep up with.
And they might turn and make a comment and everyone's laughing and suddenly you've no idea what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Children always remember times when they played with adults. There's a reason why children love adults against or teachers against students type of thing, you know.
Yeah. Brilliant advice. Yeah. Really good advice. And I hope a lot of people are feeling better about that. But Reg Igo, thank you so much. And the best place to find you, regiesplaytherapy.ie.
Yeah.
Or Instagram.
Instagram, playful_parenting_.
Playful parenting, you'll find it. Reg, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a playful festive season.